tonight we'll be talking about conforming to the image of Christ as a man of compassion. All month long we've been talking about conforming. We started off by talking about obedience, then we moved on to love, and then last week was understanding. And this week we're going to continue on, and all of those are going to support our thoughts here in the realm of compassion. So right off the bat, we need to think, in what ways are we supposed to conform to the image of Christ, of his compassion? Just three real quick thoughts as we move along. We need to think about the way he responds to an event, not reacts. We need to think about the way that his response is indicative of his genuine desire to help, that he has a reasoning that stirs compassionate feelings. So there's a logical component and an emotional component. Thirdly, the fact that not only does he use the previous two factors to guide his actions, but that he actually acts on them. So the third part is that he actually acts in a way that is correct. So real quick, biblically, or let's define compassion as the Bible defines it. There's two main words that are translated as compassion. One, we'll look at first a couple passages, is the Greek word splenizomai, which means to literally have the bowels yearn, i.e., or figuratively, to feel sympathy, to pity, to be moved with compassion. The other word is eleo, which is to compassionate by word or deed, especially by divine grace. To have compassion, to have pity on, to have mercy on. Really, that word is mostly translated as mercy. But the idea there is to help one afflicted or seeking aid. So our first example that we'll be looking from is Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. And that verse says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.'" So number one, 3 points in this verse, splenizomai is used here. So that emotional gut feeling that Christ was moved by to show compassion, meaning that Christ was moved by his sympathy toward the multitude. Christ has a response of compassion, not a reaction. Point number two, we know that it was a response, not a reaction, because the word "because" was used in the verse. It says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me," and so on and so forth. So that word "because" is a causative word. Christ had a reason to feel this way, and he explains it through his understanding of God's will. He understood God's will, so he took this external event, he funneled it through his understanding and knowledge of God's will, of what he ought to do, and then that directed him to feel a certain way. He was able to determine the proper response to a people who were in danger of fainting due to their hunger. And this verse shows Jesus having compassion on the physical needs of man. Third point in this verse, Christ then acted on these two relevant factors, the emotional and the reasoning or the logical aspect of compassion. He acted on these two factors in the process of compassion, spiritual rationalization, which led to his emotional response. Literally in the Greek, to have the bowels yearn, to be moved with compassion. So he reasoned out through God's will, and then that caused him to have an emotional feeling within him, and then he acted on it. The second verse that we're going to look at real quickly is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And this says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest.'" So 2 points in this verse real quickly. Christ's response of compassion this time, it's the same word, splenizomai, which is that gut. He was moved by compassion. Christ's response of compassion this time was not based upon a physical ailment like the last verse we looked at where they were hungry and they were in danger of fainting, but rather on a spiritual one. We see again that Christ has an emotional response predicated on a rationalized, logical computation. There was computing in his mind, of course, through his knowledge of God's will, the Word of God, and then that led him to feel correctly, which then led him and should also lead us to act correctly. Other point, this time his act of compassion was displayed in verse 38, which was through prayer, if you'll read verse 38. And real quickly, a spiritual problem requires a spiritual solution. So a real quick recap before we move on to our next point. We can't be people who rely solely on either our emotional reactions regarding compassion nor our logical conclusions. We need balance. If we were to rely too much on our instinctual emotions or emotional reactions to an event that should cause us to have compassion, we could fall prey to an improper action, such as an enabling. We might enable someone, or we might beat around the bush. Someone like my wife, who is more of a nurturer, a comforter, when she sees me, it is an emotional, and I asked her this, so I'm not, I did ask her, because I am not this way, but when she sees me in a way that causes her to have compassion, she goes right in, doing whatever her initial instinctive, response, because she's doing it for the right motive. But some of us, maybe we see something, and we have an instinct, and we don't think about it, and now we're acting based on those emotions that have not been filtered through the Word of God, and that could cause us to do something wrong. Secondly, the other type of people, someone like myself, if our instinctual reactions to seeing or hearing something is to break it down logically and act without the proper emotional support that we ought to have, we are in danger of acting disingenuous or cold. We may do what we ought to, but not out of love or the right attitude. And we know in John 4:24, in the same way we ought to approach God in worship, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have to have the right attitude and the right actions or the right reality in which we are moving inside of. So overall, these last two points, we ought to strive for a mastery of compassion that displays a Christ-like level of unity between our rationale and our emotions. Finally, we'll go to Mark chapter 5, verse 19. And this, the word compassion here in this verse is the word eleo, which is the idea of having, of acting out mercy. We'll read verses 18 through 20. Mark chapter 5. And when he got into the boat, and this, of course, this is the account of the demon-possessed man, the legion account, and Christ put the demons into the swine. They fell off the cliff and drowned. And now that demon-possessed man is coming back to Christ in verse 18. And when Christ got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So three real quick things that ought to encourage us as we live our daily life in our response to Christ's compassion on us. In verse 18, we see that the compassion of Christ, really through God, Christ was an agent of God's compassion, should lead us to want to be with him. Verse 19, yet the Lord tells us that we need to go to the world and tell them what he has done for us. And in verse 20, the response of the former demon-possessed man was to go out and proclaim or preach what Christ had done. Teaching us that since we have received compassion, we ought to go out and teach compassion to the world, which is, of course, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Also, real quickly, we'll look at 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, and then we'll look at Titus chapter 3, and then we'll be in our invitation. 1 Peter 2:9. Along the same ideas of proclaiming, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which is another reason to have compassion, because we have received the same compassion. Verse number 10, too, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy. There's the idea of mercy again. But now we have obtained mercy. And in Bible class today, we were talking about baptism, of course. We know that that is how we receive that mercy that we have obtained and we've been delivered from. Real quickly, if you'll go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, we'll see that another verse that supports that idea. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that this was helpful to us in how we ought to approach the idea of compassion as we looked at some examples of Christ's own compassion, both on physical problems that plagued man and also the spiritual problems. Of course, we know that our main priority as Christians is the spiritual, and we ought to be studying that idea and have that in the forefront of our minds. And we know that if there is anyone here who has not been baptized into Christ, we have not yet obtained that mercy. And so if you think that you can go and preach Christ or teach Christ and the mercy that he gives without being in it, that is a hypocrite. And we don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be a people who are honest and true and live within the reality that we have been placed in. And that is the obtaining of mercy is in Christ through baptism. If there's anyone here who is not in Christ and you need to be, we ask that you would come forward and study with us, ask someone for a study that we may know what we ought to do. If there's anyone here who is in Christ, has obtained mercy, and yet maybe we're not living in a way that is exuding the compassion that we ought to have, please come forward as we stand and as we sing the song.